He's getting a new battery put in, but his is a little more complex and a little more serious of a situation. Mrs. Dickinson was trying to talk to him about the Lord a little bit, and so just keep Paul in your prayers. That's Mrs. Dickinson's husband. Again, going in probably around 11:30 tomorrow morning to have a new battery put in. But there's something with the wire, and it sounds like it's a little more tricky than. Bob, is there anything else? All right. Keep them in your prayers with that. Some of your prayer requests here tonight, Brother Hodges.
Pray for Frank Van Appeldorn.
Yeah.
He is under the weather.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Pray for Brother Van. Yeah. And yeah, we missed him on Sunday. I didn't know if he was out of town or something like that. And okay. All right. Pray for Brother Van. Brother Van. All right. Somebody else? Another prayer request here tonight? All right. I was talking to Bill Luck a little bit tonight before service, and some of his numbers, he had a doctor's appointment and had some blood work, and some of his numbers in certain areas aren't looking, not like alarming, but concerning, and so he's going to see a specialist, so just keep Bill Luck in your prayers about that, and I know he would appreciate that. So I didn't want to give a lot of details, but that's kind of what's going on. I was talking to Joe before service tonight, and man, the Lord just showed up in your life a little bit this past week, and just some God only can do kind of style blessings, and he just wants to recognize that God is doing something. He wants to let the whole world know God's good, and God really. Really met some needs. You want to say something?
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, absolutely, brother.
Since I've been coming here, I can't read it anymore.
Yeah.
I can't read it anymore. And I forgot mine in my truck.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'll pay it.
Yeah, yeah.
And picked up the book. I can see it.
Yeah, well, praise the Lord.
I don't know what's going on. And yeah. Having a great day.
Yeah.
But I can actually see it enough that I can do the songs.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing. He's got a lot of trouble with his eyes and blindness and things, but just some real big blessings showed up in his life this week.
But it's important people understand, don't give up. Just keep talking to God, praying to him, and he'll just surprise the heck out of you.
Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, brother. And praise the Lord for that. All right, somebody else, another prayer request. Ryan.
Matthew.
Any updates on him? Okay. Keep Matthew in your prayers. All right. Certainly a lot going on with Matthew Seatman and just ongoing of his Crohn's and all of that. And so, all right. Miss Beardsley, there it is. It was in there. It was like a little further back, but I got it.
I'd just like to remember
all the things that are going on with the earth. Yeah. A lot of people lost their life. Originally, it was like 1,500, then it went to 5,000, then 11,000, and they're just finding more and more people. Catastrophic, sad things. And, as the great Mr. Rogers said, look for the helpers. Whenever there's disaster, there are helpers, and you'll see them. I listened to a report today, and they're interviewing this person that hasn't slept in 2 days because they're just barreling through rubble trying to find people, and they're finding them, but I just pray for that situation, certainly. All right, somebody else? Mrs. K.
Yeah, forever it seems I've asked for a swim of mine.
Yeah.
Water.
Yeah, amen.
So please continue to pray for Caden. I really appreciate this.
Yeah. Yeah. Pray for Caden's mom, Emily. And Caden, yeah. So Caden's got to be, what, 5, 6 days old now?
Yeah, he was C-section February 1st.
February 1st. All right. So, yeah, about a week old. And so pray for little Caden and Miss Emily and as they go through that. All right. Somebody else? Another prayer request? All right. Mrs. Parrott.
Sue Bear.
Yeah. She is. Yeah. 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 Pray for Sue as she's out of town. Robert, do you need anything? No. All right. Are you going out for hot dogs on Friday?
Yeah.
Awesome. They have a phrase, while the cat's away, the mice will play. And, yeah, probably wouldn't have flown if Mrs. Bayer was in town, but, you know, there you go. All right. Pork pockets. Brother Drolleman, tell me about the hot dogs. There's 2-foot-long hot dogs and one bun.
Like a bun.
Yeah. Awesome. 12 o'clock Friday, Port Pockets. If you're available, there you are. And you'll have a good time. I promise you that. And who's going, Brother Drolleman? You?
Bob Bear, Bob Dickinson.
Yeah.
Gary, me, Craig.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to work it out. I'm seeing what I can do. I think I'm coming down with something. And Yeah. So wonderful. And that is a sweet group of men, and love to be there if you can make it out, and we'll have a good time together. All right, somebody else, another prayer request tonight. Chloe, how are you feeling, Chloe?
Great.
Good.
Great.
Okay, good.
So just please pray for some people I work for, just their salvation.
Yeah.
Some people I clean for, and then I work for these dog breeders. Their names are Sharon and Rick Evans.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Jackie and the Evans family.
Yes.
All right. Thank you for that update. Saw Michaela tonight. Michaela had a couple perfectly working good teeth yanked out of her head. Now she's more foolish. She had her wisdom teeth pulled. But she's doing good. She looked much better than I did after 2 days. Anyways. But anything? How's she doing? Yeah. Yeah. Which is an answer to other people's prayers. Yeah, she can still talk. Miss Michaela is a sweetheart, and we love her, and so thankful. Glad that surgery went well. Now she's just got to recover. And so pray for Michaela. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing. It's a real blessing. I think there's a couple TVs left in the kitchen. It's kind of like the like food stuff. If you want the TVs, take them. Otherwise, we're putting them in the trash. All right? So that tonight's the last night. Say, when was the first night? Tonight is also the first night. So tonight's the first night and the last night. All right? So we're going to get rid of those. One TV is already gone, Mr. Bean, and a couple computers. So there you go. And thank you for doing that. Joe? Sean's been having some dental work. It's much more than that. It's like a 6-month process, and it's a lot of stuff going on inside there. So just pray for him. Yeah. It's extensive. So pray for Sean as he's healing up from that. All right. Somebody else, Brother Rice.
Yeah. I've got an appointment tomorrow.
About your knee. Okay.
Seem to kind of like go away.
Yeah.
Come back. Really.
Okay.
So pray for me on that one. I'll get it taken care of.
Pray for Brother Rice and his knee. Yeah. Possibly.
One other thing, too. Charles Smith Boots from
So, Mrs. Smith.
Yeah.
We'll just go with that. All right, pray for Mrs. Smith. This is a guy that both Eric and Ray work with, and his mom's not doing so well. So we're going to pray for her. Blake, so great to see you.
Hey.
How you doing? You good. I'm glad to see you here tonight. You're here till Sunday. All right. Anything we can pray for you for? All right. Okay. Sounds good. All right. Mrs. Julie.
So Mr. Barber, Grandpa Barber, is in hospice.
Okay.
And I'm planning to take a one-way flight to California soon. I just don't know yet.
Okay. To help them out while they're...
I'm sorry?
To just help them out while they're there?
Yeah. Because once he passes, she's all by herself.
Yeah.
She's got no one.
Wow. Okay.
Over and beyond that, we're always up here somewhere. So it's just her.
Yeah.
She is very thankful for the prayers.
Amen.
Things are working out, but,
it's still a process. Yeah, it is.
This is an answer to prayer that both the boys and Stan go before her.
Yeah. Pray for the Barber family, just this thing.
On the timing of it all. I don't know if she would have chosen the past or and then how long to be out there.
Yeah. Sure.
So,
all right.
She might put her house up for sale. Just a lot of good decisions.
All right. Pray for them, just wisdom and direction through all of this. And the best thing you can pray for is just God's grace. You know, that's when you go through stuff like that. Doesn't take away the situation, the difficulty of it. But God's grace certainly helps us through it. So.
Also, just something she was talking about, what she's praying through all this whole thing with both the boys, because both mentally handicapped and died within 6 months of each other. And they never did diagnose what it was.
Mm.
They're in medical journals because they don't know. It's like Down's, but it wasn't.
Wow.
She traveled like all these places to have them examined for years and years. Anyway, they had no idea how long the life was going to be and all that. So 1662 is when he died. But and that was December last, and before that, and then March, and then now Stan.
Wow.
But through it all, she has always prayed to be a great witness.
Yeah.
Those boys in particular, they love Jesus.
Yeah.
As simple as their minds are.
Yeah.
They love Jesus.
Yeah.
And they were always in a place where she could, they were open. And she
yeah.
Get a chance to witness. And so even Stan going into hospice and the boys passing so soon, they're like, how do you do it? And she goes,
yeah.
Well, I can tell you how we do it.
Yeah, amen.
Just going to witnessing. And so just pray that she just continue to do that, have the strength to, her mind stays together, and just, the Lord just bless her mind.
Yeah. Praise the Lord for families like that. There's a young man, I'm not sure if you've seen him, but that works at Wegmans. Looks like he has Downs, and he does the carts. There have been multiple occasions where I saw him just in tremendous act of care and love for somebody else. He went running to this, he almost knocked me over, but he was running to this car to help these people just get out of one of those mechanical wheelchairs. Like he was like Superman. Like, I'm on it. And I think the Lord gives those guys something special. And they see something different. And, give me some of that, right?
It's
yeah.
A miracle,
yeah.
Yeah. Those two were her only two sons.
Yeah.
So our children went over there one day and asked to do some chores for camp money.
Yeah.
Wow.
She said
it was a prayer that she didn't even have, but the Lord knew that she would be blessed with
grandchildren. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Well, pray for the Barbers. All right. Somebody else? Anybody else for anything else? All right. Brother Rice?
I'll just continue to pray for Mrs. Rice.
All right. Kelly. Keep Kelly in your prayers as she recovers. Ashley?
I just had a blessing. All of Lincoln's special stuff came back all good.
That's great. Yeah.
Amen.
Yep. Praise the Lord for that. That's a blessing. Mrs. Buck, can you give us just an update on Cassie? Anything you know? Yeah. Yeah, just waiting on that. Yeah. All right. Pray for Cassie. Cassie Cox. And did I just see another hand right here? Brother B. Mr. B. Miranda and Janae in nursing school. Miranda and Janae. School. All right. Yes, ma'am.
Julie.
Sure, yeah, yeah. The weather is very similar. Yes. Excellent church family, may I say. Pray for Jules as she makes some pretty important life decisions with that. All right, anybody else? All right, let's take a few moments. We'll pray for these things, and then we'll be in the scriptures. It is chapter number 2. We're on our way in tonight, and there was an accident. It looked like there was a couple accidents on our way in. There was one right on Route 18 in between Redmond and 19. Man, that car looked... Anybody see that on the way in? That car did not look good. I don't know what happened, but that didn't look good. And then it looked like another... Something was going on north of Route 18 on Redmond Road, and I don't know what was going on. Animals running or something. But Titus chapter number 2 and verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Say, Pastor, you preached that Sunday. You've grabbed the wrong message. Now, I'd like to focus in on this thought, but let's read verse 15. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. In verse 14, it tells us about how our good works ought to be done, and it uses that word zealous, and I want to just kind of focus in on that a little bit here tonight. We know that God is supreme and comes before absolutely all things. Before him, all things were made, the Bible tells us. And he has, the scripture says, the preeminence. Titus chapter number 2 reminds us that he redeemed us from our iniquity, purified unto himself a peculiar people. He redeemed us, we talked about this on Sunday, saved us from some things, saved us for to be something, and then for a purpose going forward. But that word zeal, that zealous of good works. Again, we're told to love God with all of our hearts. Go with me, Matthew chapter number 22. Matthew 22, familiar verse. If you don't have it marked off, maybe you could in your Bible. Matthew 22 and verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Hey, we are told to love God with all our hearts. He is supreme. He deserves and this is where God gets into that attribute of jealousy. Right? And he has every right to be jealous. Hey, I've done all this. I am who I am. And my character, I'm never wrong. Everything I do for you is good. It is not unreasonable of him to expect worship in return. It is not unreasonable to expect love in return. He doesn't force us, but he commands us. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Can you turn me down just a little bit? Thank you. And when we don't, you know what he says? He says, I get jealous. He gets jealous. We see it in the scriptures over and over again. And what does he want? He wants our whole heart. Psalm chapter number 9. Psalm chapter number 9. Psalm 9:1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my, what? Whole heart. Psalm 9:1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. That sounds like zeal. That sounds like some excitement about the things of God. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I appreciate the testimonies tonight, not just prayer requests, but hey, can I share something that God is doing in my life? God is jealous, and he desires complete worship. He doesn't want half our heart. He doesn't want part of it. He wants our whole hearts. That's what he says. I will praise thee, O Lord. And how does God want it? With my whole heart. And God says, that'll work. Oftentimes, I've spoken to many people over the years, and my life's a mess. And he just wants you to be honest with him, and he just wants whole heart worship. That's what he wants from us, because he's jealous. Remember the Lord, go to Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3. There's a church of Laodicea here. What is their problem? What does the Lord chastise them for? He says, I know thy works, in verse 15. That thou art neither cold nor hot. Hey, they're not zealous of their good works. Now we can, Mr. B, I remember you taught on this, and the different waters that come into the city, warm water from one way, cold water from the other, and by the time it gets to Laodicea, it's lukewarm. It's almost undrinkable. And I understand the historical part of that, but there's a spiritual application here. Hey, I want you to turn the heat up a little bit. I want you to get excited about what? About the game this Sunday? About the weather? No. God says, I want you to get excited about me.
Amen.
That's what he wants. I want you to worship me with all your heart. It makes me sick, he says. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. What do we spit out? Things that don't taste good. Not sure if you remember, Ashley, I'm not sure if it was in your class or not, brought in some wasabi peas, and I gave one to Philip Kent, and he just said, nope, and spit it right out in the trash. Why? Because no way wasabi was going into Philip Kent's mouth. You know what that is? Hey, God says, you make me sick. Where's your zeal? Hey, I've done all this for you. I'm the supreme being. Hey, it's not like you're trying to worship something that can be stolen. Man, I was listening to the news this week, and there's a big controversy and between Korea and Japan because in 2012, someone stole their idol. And it just showed up again. Can you imagine someone can steal God? He's been missing for 10 years. Absurd. That's not what we serve. We serve a God that's real, that's living, that's seated on the throne, that has all power, all wisdom, and has done everything for you. I'm not sure I'm in. What? God says, hey, show me your zeal. Show me your excitement. Hey, get excited about what? He says, get excited about me. And the Lord chastises the church that is neither hot nor cold. God desires zealous followers. Look at verse 19 in that same chapter. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. He says, be zealous therefore. Revelation 3:19. Be zealous therefore and repent. On the way in, we were just getting out of the car, and Joe's like, Dad, what are you preaching tonight? So I said, I don't know, be zealous. He goes, that's the title? I said, that's the title. And then Abby quotes this verse. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, and be zealous therefore and repent. I'm like, that's Revelation 3:19. Mm-hmm. That was nice. I've heard worse. That's fine. I said, well, how do you know that? She goes, Dad, I don't know. In kindergarten, we memorized it and just stuck.
Amen.
I said, well, praise the Lord. Yeah, that's exactly what it says. He says, hey, be zealous and repent. Say, why do I have to repent? Because you're not excited about the things of God. You're not excited about who God is. You sit back and take a lackadaisical approach to the Lord. Man, I praise the Lord for Chloe. I pray for me. I'm working with these people, and I'm concerned for their soul. Who's concerning you? Get more worried about the weather and sports and news than people's souls. And God says, you make me sick. Hey, repent. What does that mean? Turn around. You're not going in the right direction. Hey, get excited about me, he says.
Amen.
Show me some zeal about me. What is zeal? Zeal is energized with passion to know really who God is and eagerly serve him by telling others about the Savior. Look at Psalm 42. Look at these heartfelt words in Psalm 42. Our heart ought to be filled with joy for the Lord.
Amen.
And when passion for God consumes us, you know what? We have no problem praising him. Hey, when you're right with God, it's time to go to church. No. Yeah, it's like, is it time to go to church yet? Is it Bible reading time? Where are my tracks? You get excited about the things of the Lord. Hey, that all of a sudden becomes real. That Holy Spirit blows over the coals of your heart and ignites something. Man, you're dusting things off. You're all of a sudden house on fire for the Lord. What is that? That's a little bit of zeal. Psalm 42, look at these dear words. Psalm 42 and verse 1, as the heart panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God. Sounds like some zeal for the Lord. a passion to really know God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Is that your soul? Is that your heart? Does that describe you? I hate to say it, but sometimes we get into a phase of our life where church is just another thing on the schedule.
Uh-oh.
Bible reading time is just another checklist on the, and quite honestly, just save it. You're not doing anybody any favors. God says, I want all your heart. I want you to be like that deer that just seeks after that water brook. Are you seeking after does your soul thirst for God? That zeal. In the scriptures, over and over again, we see this ugly cycle of the kings of Israel. Some do right, and then the next one doesn't, and then the next one does, and there's this cycle of it. It's ugly. Between the judges and the kings, God's people would regularly forsake the law of God and rebel against the Lord. And yet, over and over again, God would just show his mercy in it. And 2 Kings, a familiar story. Just have a young man with some zeal, and I just want to draw our attention to it just for a few moments. 2 Kings 22. In the land of Israel, they lost the law of God. So how could they? I don't know, but they did. They put it somewhere and just didn't care about it. I remember as a kid growing up, every now and then, my mom would, I had a little toy box. And I can still hear the noise the hinges make. You know, one of those toy boxes. And I had all my toys in there. Once a year or so, maybe a couple times a year, my mom would make me to take everything out of the toy box, sort through, and that would take hours. Say, why? Because I would find stuff I hadn't seen in a long time before. It was like I just went to Toys R Us again. It was like, this is great. I forgot about how great these toys are. Maybe that's kind of what happened with the law. They didn't care about it. They put it away. And now, in verse 8, in 2 Kings chapter 22, in verse 8, and Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, we're in 2 Kings 22 and verse 8, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Hey, praise the Lord. There was a place that the law of God ought to be. It's ought to, in his house, right? And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king, King Josiah, brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered into the hand of them that do the work and have oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. It came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. For a long period of time, the law was gone. When it was found, it was brought back to the king. And what does he do? He humbles himself. As we continue reading, he will humble himself. He will tear his clothes. He will weep over this. In 2 Kings chapter number 23 and verse 1, and the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. Hey, this is what happens. God gets in there. Hey, I found something. King, you're going to want to hear this. What is it? It's the law of God. Well, read it to me. And they start at the beginning and they just go through the law. And King says, we are in a bad way. He says, get all the men together, get all the people together, both small and great, and they need to hear this. And he reads it before the people. what happens. In verse 3, he clears out the idols, and the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies. Hey, what happened? The word of God got into somebody's heart, and he got a little excited about who God is. And he says, hey, you all need to hear this. The statutes and all their heart and their soul to perform the words of the covenant that were written in the book, and all the people stood to the covenant. Hey, we have the words of God. And the people were overwhelmed by it, and the king commanded it. Hilkiah, the high priest, and he goes and he just breaks down every bit of idolatry and sin from one end of the country to the next. There's some major things that go on there. You can read through 2 Kings 23 if you'd like. Verse 21 of that chapter. The king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord our God as it is written in the book of the covenant. Hey, it said something about a Passover. We need to do that. It was a time of worship. Time pleasing to God. And you know what the Bible says about him? There was no king like him. 2 Kings chapter number 23 and verse 35. There was no king. Verse 37. And he did that which was... Wait a second. Where'd he go? Maybe it's... I wrote it down right. I'm sorry. It's in verse 25. And like unto him was there no king. 2 Kings 23, 25. I had it written. My bifocals got crossed for a second. I'm sorry. And like unto him, there was no king before him, like him, that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. Hey, do you know you could be just like, I understand that everybody's an individual, but please understand that this is an example worth imitating. May the word of God ignite a fire in our hearts for him. Sure, yeah, there can be misguided zeal. I get it. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter number 10. They're zealous, but they were zealous about ungodly things. Hey, listen, I see all these Christians all up in arms and posting all over, reposting the Grammy Awards and these people doing wicked things. No kidding. That, like, be not surprised when the lost, hey, that's what they sing about, that's what they write about, that's what's inside their heart. Hey, it ought to be really alarming, though, if the world starts showing up in the church house. The world's going to act like the world. The Christians ought not to act like the world. Hey, the world's got an agenda. It's got sin. It's pushed. It's promoted. These things I see with elementary kids going to these drag shows. Unbelievable. That's the world. Yeah, they endorse sin. But can we get a little excited about the things of God? Yeah, we're going to shout and yell and post and argue about how wicked the world is. Sure, go ahead. But can we take a few moments and just glorify God for who he is? Can we get excited about there's a real living God seated upon a throne, and he rules all of this, and he died for me, and he knows my name. He's aware of all of this, and he wants me to serve him. Can we take a moment and talk about that? Man in Numbers, chapter number 25 is... Yeah, we'll go there. How about we go there? We got time. We're almost done. Numbers 25. There's a name you don't hear often. Numbers 25, verse 11. Phinehas. The son of Eleazar, not Hophni and Phinehas, different. Son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest. hath turned away my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of the everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God, and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Hey, you know what? I understand what the context is. I understand this is the law. I understand that this is a man saying, hey, hold off for a few minutes. Please don't destroy them. You've made a covenant. He's simply just standing up for the promises God has made. But as a Christian, as a one that's been saved and forgiven of all their sin, can we go out there and tell somebody else and help the judgment of God hold off on their soul too? Can we be zealous for our God? Well, this is upstate New York. We're not zealous about... Yeah, we're zealous about the Bills and Buffalo Wings and all of that. Can we be excited about the things of the Lord? Not just in the church house, but every step, every place we go, every person. Now, don't be a fanatic. But I don't know. This world needs to see something. Needs to see something real. And I know you can't give what you don't have, but maybe that thing can ignite in your heart a little bit. I don't know. I was studying this out, and it disturbed me that God was so repulsed by a group of people, by a church that was neither hot nor cold. Yeah, the world's going to be lost. Yeah, I get it. But where we see zeal showing up is where God ought to be. Hey, this was the nation of Israel. Hey, King Josiah, they had the law and said, we don't want it. It was the church of Laodicea. So as a Christian, two verses, both in Romans. Romans chapter number 12. Romans 12. Well, I just don't want to scare anybody. All right. Don't be scary, but be real and genuine. We have a wood stove at the house. And when that air is blown over that wood stove and there's hot coals, man, that thing is hot. Like, you got to put a glove on to put another log in. Those coals are so hot. Hey, that's what it ought to be around us. I'm just excited about the things of God. Why? Because he's real. Romans chapter number 12 and verse 11. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. 12:11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Zealous of good works. Not just zealous. I'm not saying, hey, pastor said to be zealous. Let's set up the white table and let's jump on top of it as Bills fans. No. Zealous of good works, serving the Lord. You're serving the Lord with zeal. When you walk into your Sunday school class, those kids ought to be, what has gotten into my teacher? They must really believe what they're saying. Open your Bibles up. Oh, I could care less about what I'm saying. No. Romans 15, verse 20, last verse. Romans 15, 20. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, Paul saying. Not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. He says, I strived, I pushed, I was excited about preaching the gospel. And I went where nobody else was. I wasn't trying to tread on anybody else's ministry. Hey, are you excited about preaching the gospel? Oh yeah, I'm excited. All right then. Hey, I don't want to be guilty of Revelation chapter number 3. Wouldn't it be a shame if God looked down upon our lives and said, y'all make me sick. And then have these words for us. Why don't you repent and be zealous of me? That's what he's calling us to. Say, pastor, I got a boatload of problems. I'm just trying to keep my head above water. I can't really focus in on it. This is what it's all about. This is the great commandment. Love God with all your heart. Hey, just get excited about who God is. Spend time with the Lord. I don't know how you cannot get excited about when you study who God is and who you are and what you got in response to that. Man, that ought to excite your, that ought to wet your whistle. I don't know what that means, but it sounds like something you'd say. All right, very good. Let's all stand. Somewhat made aware of a situation, reached out to a family that just could use some help. I sent a message out this afternoon. Is there an offering basket back there? We got one. Can you just bring it right up here? We'll just put it up here. All right. Can you just bring that up here now? Right now. After service, if you could put something in, all the money that we collect in here just goes to this family. They're having a rough time. They didn't ask for this. They didn't say, hey, Pastor, can you do something for us? And do anything like that. But they're in a tough way. And I know, listen, I know this won't solve all their problems. I get it. I know. And it's bigger. I just want them to know that there's people that care and that if we can do something, all right? So we want to be a help. So if you can be a help tonight, again, anything that goes in here goes to them. This is above and beyond. This is alms, right? Helping out. And this isn't your tithe. This is just being a help to a family in need, all right? Again, if it can just get them a little bit over the hump. And we've all been there. Brother Hodges, can you dismiss us in prayer tonight? Yes.
Father, be with us as we go home. And thank you for everything in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you. Have a good night. If you could put something in, that'd be great.